Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Zechariah chapter 2, stand up on your feet all across the place, online, stand up. If you're not able to, stand up on the inside in honor of God's word. I've entitled it, Should We Stand With Israel? Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8, New International Version, are you ready? On your marks, get set, let's go. For this is what the Lord Almighty says. After he has honored me and has sent me against the nations that I have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. I will surely raise my hand against them so that their slaves will plunder them. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me. Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion. Can you shout right now? Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your grace, moving power now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We do have notes for you. I grew up in New York. Somebody asked me, where are you from? And I'm originally from New York. I was born in St. Vincent's Hospital on the Lower East Side of Manhattan to my wonderful mother, Mary, and my father, John, who is in need of healing, is in the hospital tonight with AFib, having a heart problem. Father, heal him in Jesus' name. And growing up in New York, it has one of the largest populations of Jews outside of Israel is in New York City. How many of you are aware of that? So I, growing up there, learned a lot of Yiddish. How many of you know what Yiddish is? Yiddish is kind of Hebrew mixed with German, and there's lots of different sayings, some of which you shouldn't say. Remember walking in the Diamond District with Hasidic Jews in these large black coats, and they had these locks that they would play with their hair and wrap it around their ear. And they literally walk around Manhattan with their pockets full of diamonds, and they never get robbed. You never hear of a rarely. You used to be never, but recently that's changed. And so I was raised in a culture where there was a lot of Jews, and I'm so thankful. In fact, my father, when he remarried in 1977, married a Jewish lady. And so I've been around a lot of Jewish culture and lived with a rabbi for a season before I became a believer. Every Friday they had Shabbat. Every Friday, without fail, had Shabbat. With the candlesticks that came from Russia, from when their parents escaped out of Russia, the persecution that took place there of the Jews. I love Jewish people. I love all people. There's something very significant about Jews. They are God's chosen people. In the words of Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof, as he's talking to God, and he says, I know we're your chosen people, but once in a while, could you choose someone else? And that's because of the great difficulty they have been through. Tonight's message, and if you could give me 20 minutes on the clock, that'll help me. The next 20 minutes, I'm going to challenge you. Might get some pushback from the message I'm about to preach. But Proverbs 18, verse 15 says this, intelligent people are always ready to learn. And I believe that there's some intelligent people. I learned a phenomenal phrase when I was, where were we? We're in Rome, and it's a phrase that Italians have, that the idiot's mother is always pregnant. Let me tell you what that means. There's no shortage of people that want to stay ignorant and dumb. I laughed hysterically when I heard it. Obviously, you guys don't think it's funny, so we'll just move on. The idiot's mother is, the mother of the idiot is always pregnant, meaning that it's not disparaging. It just means that there's always people that don't want to learn, that want to stay offended, that don't want to change, they don't want to be transformed, they want to stay stuck. There's people that are anti-Semites. There are people that hate the Jews. There's people that hate Christians. There's people that hate black people. There's all kinds of racism in the world. Many are ignorant of anti-Semitism throughout history, and Judaism did not come to an end with the birth and death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Judaism still exists today. Judaism did not Christianity did not replace Judaism. That doctrine is a doctrine of supersessionism or replacement theology, and it's false. Just remember this. Without the Jewish people, there would never be the written word of God, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Old Testament prophets, King David, who became the forefather of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a Jew. Hello. Jews are God's plan for revealing himself to mankind. And the roots of anti-Semitism are deep. And mostly their Christian roots. The first anti-Semite was Pharaoh. I don't know if you could say that's the first anti-Semite, but let me say it this way. He was the first one to plan to kill them. In fact, there's a genocide of all the babies and different things. But there's other. Justin Martyr was also a hater of the Jews. St. Augustine, who's one of my heroes in the Desert Fathers, listen to what St. Augustine said. Unfortunately, tarnishing his reputation here. How I wish that you would slay all the Jews with your two-edged sword, that there should be none to oppose your word. John Chrysostom, called the Golden Mouth Preacher, frequently denounced the Jews. The Crusades in 950 to 1350, Pope Urban II of Rome decreed that Christians of Europe should take up the cross and the sword and liberate the Holy Land from Muslims and Jews. And in doing so, they killed a lot of Christians, by the way. Because of Rome's vicious campaign and sanctioned mobs and murderous vigilantes were sent to kill the Jews. I mean, over and over and over, in the name of Christianity, with a cross for the glory of God, they went and killed Jews. And we wonder why. Christians wonder why Jews don't just convert. Sure is quiet in here. The Jews are blamed for everything. The Spanish Inquisition. Many Jews were killed upon the refusal to convert to Christianity in the Spanish Inquisition. Martin Luther's book I talked about this morning in 1543, Jews and Their Lies. Luther's writing invoked and referenced anti-Semitic individuals and spurred horrible persecution of the Jews. But the doctrine of supersessionism and replacement theology is false. Replacement theology argues that Jews are no longer deemed as God's chosen people. They've been replaced by the church because of their rejection of Christ. No one can replace Israel. Nothing and no one can replace the Jews. And if you'll read your Bible, you'll understand that they are in a moment of judicial blindness, momentary blindness. They do not see, but one day they will. And in actual fact, the scriptures talk about the fullness of the Gentiles. And the fullness of the Gentiles is when fullness, meaning completion of the Gentiles, there's coming a moment when the Gentiles reach its saturation point, maybe another way to say it, the critical mass, maybe that's another way, a point of completion. And when the point of completion comes, it's an ending of a time period, very perhaps the rapture. I've preached on it recently. It's online on our YouTube. And at that point, Jews are going to be made so jealous that there's this massive conversion, and it is understood that 144,000 Jewish evangelists will travel around the world and preach the gospel. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. Wow. Biblical reasons why we should stand with Israel. Are you ready? All right, Pastor Karen's ready. Is there anybody else who's ready? All right, let me step on the gas. The sovereign, it's a sovereign act of God created Israel as a nation and gave them the land. Genesis 12 talks about that. Genesis 22, verse 1 through 17. Genesis 35. Listen, take this. Can I tell you, parents? Can I give you some instruction? Parents, take this, these notes home. Sit down with your kids. Sit down with your wife. Sit down with your husband and teach them this thing. Read the scriptures. Go through the whole thing because I'm not going to do it justice in the next 13 minutes. And I have preached it about 3 years ago, 2 years ago. I preached a similar message. It's a little bit different. It's very, very important. Grow in the knowledge of God. Don't remain ignorant. Years ago, I was with a brother who was supporting the movement of Aliyah from Jews returning to Israel. And in the moment of our lunch, as we're talking, the Spirit of God arrested me. I mean, shook me. The fear of the Lord hit me. And God spoke to me and said, your ignorance about Israel needs to end. And I thought, oh, what ignorance. And since then, I've just pressed a little bit, and I want you to do the same. Genesis 35 and verse 9. He gave, as a sovereign act, created Israel as a nation and gave them the land. God defined the land that he gave to Israel, and it's theirs forever. Genesis 15, verse 18. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way to the border of Egypt, to the great Euphrates River. In Genesis 17, verses 2 through 8. My. In Genesis 26 and verse 3. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8. Number 3, the boundaries of the land were given. Numbers 34, Joshua 11, Joshua 13, Ezekiel 47. It's the original royal land grant. I lived in Hawaii for a number of years, and the king granted land to people. I think it's Avapui. I can't remember. I know Avapui is a flower. Something close to that, but they would be given these strips of land from the mountain all the way to the sea. It was a land grant given by the king. The original royal land grant was God giving Israel the land. Oh, this is the part that I might get in trouble with, but I could totally care less. Somebody said, well, you're bold to preach. You know, it's not so much about being bold. I just like the truth. And I know I'm going to stand before him. So I'm going to say the truth. I try to put a little sugar up on that thing, but it's hard to put sugar on this. You ready? Go to the next point. Ishmael, the father of the Arab nations, was excluded from the land. He has no right to the land, biblically speaking. Biblically speaking. No right. The Arab nations, even though blessed by God, and a people of covenant, I'm not saying they're not. People of covenant, blessed by God, they were excluded from the title deed of the land. Documented, and I'm going to read it, Genesis 17, verse 19. And the Lord said, no, Sarah, your wife will bear a son. You shall call his name. What's his name? Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you this time next year. Therefore, no one can conclude that in the eyes of God, the Arab nations have a biblical decree or ownership of the land. So I'm going to say it again. No one can conclude in God's eyes biblically that the Arabs and Arab nations have a right to the land. I'm not ashamed to say it. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say anything else but that. Okay, we must support Israel's right to the land because of Genesis 13, verse 14 to 17. So Christians owe a debt to the Jewish people. And I'm convinced that part of the blessing that's upon this house is because we stand with Israel, because I preach on blessing Israel and standing with God's people And other things that we've done over the years. I remember we gave opportunity to Jewish ministry here that had no place of opportunity and were cut off in different ways. And we gave opportunity for them to come and minister here. And we'll do it again and again and again. And the reason is that Christians absolutely, emphatically, biblically should stand with Israel. It doesn't mean all their decisions are righteous. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they're perfect no more than you are. But we are to stand with them. We have a biblical mandate from God to stand with Israel. Absolutely, emphatically, yes. And anybody that tries to teach you anything else is not teaching you from the word because it's not in there. We owe them a debt. God has shown us mercy, and we're obligated to show mercy to the Jews. And we could do that in several ways. Look, the Jews gave us the New Testament. I said this morning, that everything in this book, this whole book is written by Jews. Men of God, women of God, holy men of God, moved along, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I had somebody pull me aside afterward and said, "Yeah, well, what about the book of Daniel? That's that section that Nebuchadnezzar writes." I said, "He didn't write it. He said it, but it was written by Daniel, who's a Jew." Thanks. It's in Aramaic, yeah. John 4:22. Salvation is of the Jews. They gave us the principles of salvation. We support them in a number of ways by giving monetarily. You know, when we were in Israel, when we visited that shop in Bethlehem, and we bought items and blessed them, you know, that helped them. Tourism is, I think we were the second tour that had come through there. You were giving to Israel by supporting that beautiful family there. Romans 15:27, they were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles receive spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers of Jerusalem, they feel at least they can do is return, is help them financially. He's talking about the Gentiles receiving the good news, and their response should be to bless them monetarily. That's biblical. It's a biblical thing. By giving to them monetarily. Another way that we can support them is by being their unconditional friends. By being their unconditional friends. A devout man, Cornelius, in the book of Acts, the one who feared God, he and his whole household, who gave alms generously to people and prayed to God always. He was a friend of the Jewish people. There's so many scriptures to support that. Also by praying for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122. The scriptural principle of personal prosperity is tied to the blessing of Israel. It is tied. Because, listen, I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but if you come against Israel and you're anti-Semitic against, if you hate God's people, Israel, Jews, you hate them, then you put yourself in a place of judgment before God. Oh, Ayelda, you're thinking, you're reevaluating the way you feel. It doesn't mean they're righteous in all their decisions. It means that we owe a biblical responsibility to pray and stand biblically with them. Yes, to hold up the standard of truth found in God's word. Absolutely. We stand with Jews because Jesus was a Jew. I love that. John 4:22, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews, who's saying that? Who's talking? We Jews. Jesus is talking. Know all about him, for salvation comes from the Jews. Jesus considered the Jewish people his family, and he said, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine," come on now. Connect this. Jesus says, whatever you did for one of these brothers and sisters of mine, what does he mean? I think he could be meaning talking about the Jews. It's not just ambiguous, these brothers and sisters of mine. He's talking about clearly his brothers and sisters, but could he also be talking about brothers and sisters meaning his fellow Jews? Yes. What you did for the least of these, you did unto me. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, in the book of Revelation. God promises to bless those who bless Israel and the Jewish people, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Go take time to read it at home. God judges those who persecute Jewish people. Genesis 12, 3. Deuteronomy 30, verse 7. For the Lord your God will inflict all of these curses on your enemies and those who hate and persecute you. Jeremiah 30, 20. The children, see, a lot of people just take that, well, that means me, those who hate and persecute us Christians. Well, he's talking to Jews, though. And I do think it relates also to us who are grafted in by the blood. We've been adopted. We've been grafted in. The dividing wall has been removed because of the blood of Jesus. But originally it was written to the? Yes. To Israel. Jeremiah 30, 20, the children prosper as they did long ago. I will establish them as a nation before me. I will punish anyone who hurts them. Exodus 17. Malachites in Exodus 17, their story, the Amalekites, descendants of Esau, who attacked the children of Israel as they came up. Exodus 17, verse 14, after the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll of parchment. Remember and read it out loud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek under heaven. Why? Because they were enemies to Israel. Hundreds of years later, Amalek demonstrated their hatred for the Jews through Haman. He was an Amalekite. You can read about him in the book of Esther. So it's an everlasting truth that God will destroy all who hate and come against Israel. So let me ask you this question. Where are the Amalekites? They don't exist anymore. Wow. Was that an anomaly? No. Where's the Grecian Empire? They also don't exist anymore. Where's the Roman Empire? They also don't exist anymore. Where's the Ottoman Empire? Where's Mussolini? Where's Stalin? Where's Hitler? They're all gone. They're all wiped out. God will protect his people. He will. And again, it doesn't mean that we're endorsing their every action, but it does mean biblically we're supposed to stand with them and hold them to a standard as well. But we do it in a way that's different that you might evangelize your next door neighbor. All these that came against Israel are gone, and their footnotes in history no longer existing. In conclusion, Jesus didn't deny his Jewish roots, nor should we deny the Jews either. Do you want the blessing of God? Let me ask you, do you want the blessing of God? Then you need to align your heart with Israel. And again, it doesn't mean you endorse everything and turn a blind eye and wink at that which might be wrong. But what we hear from news, CNN, and different news agencies, they make Israel out to be a slaughtering bunch of wicked people that are trying to steal the land of Gaza, and on and on and on. And they're committing genocide. Sir, ma'am, if you think Israel's committing genocide, you need to go and see the endless efforts they make to try to protect innocent people. They send out thousands of pamphlets before they bombed different areas. You say, well, why did they bomb it to begin with? In the words of one of their prime ministers years ago, Golda Meir, good job, Pastor Karen, Golda Meir, she said this, we will forgive you. She said this to the radical Islam and those who try to kill Jews. We will forgive you for killing us, but we will never forgive you for making us kill you. See, if you don't, we had to go to war over 9/11, because if we didn't, then granted, there's a lot of conspiracy about that. But when somebody comes and wipes out a group of people, there must be a response, otherwise their lives meant nothing. And October 7th, if you look at October 7th, it was so wicked. I was there. and I have people that call me to get after me about how we stand with Israel, it just makes me really want to say something. So I am. We will stand with Israel. If you don't like it, go pound sand. We're going to stand with God. You work that out with God in the end of the ages. You come before Him. You want to stand with anti-Semitism in your heart, you might not make heaven. Racist, if you're racist, I don't think you get to go to heaven. I think you'd be excluded. You say, well, I'm born again. Well, are you? Because how can you hate your brother who you can see, but you say you love God who you can't see? You can't remain a racist. You can come in a racist, but you got to get healed. You don't like black people, there's something wrong with you. You don't like natives, something wrong with you. You don't like Jews, there's something wrong with you. You don't like white people. I don't like some of them either. We need to love each other, and we are commanded by God to embrace Israel, support them with our prayers, support them with our finances, support them verbally, to take a stand. And it is unbelievable to me how many people just twist the whole narrative, not realizing the incredible ends that they go to save lives, only to have the enemies who hate the Jews build embankments underneath hospitals and to use people as human shields. And that's just a small portion of it. If I was to tell you, which I want to in one way, but it is family night. And even if it wasn't family night, I don't want to tell you the things I saw and the things I heard when I went 150 days after. And the reason I don't want to is because I don't want you defiled, and I don't want you to have nightmares like I did of what they did to innocent people, children. It is a demonic agenda, an antichrist spirit, a Haman spirit, if you will. Why we stand? Should we stand with Israel? Emphatically, 100%, yes. Take this home. Study it. Let's pray for Israel right now. Lift your hands all across this place and begin to pray. God, we pray for Israel. Come on, just have a prayer meeting and then we'll move on into testimonies. We pray, oh God, for Israel tonight. We pray the blessing of God upon Israel. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you that you gave us a word through them and we owe them a debt of love. We stand in agreement with your plan, your master plan, which is temporary judicial blindness. And one day the scales will be lifted off from their eyes and they will see Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. God, we pray for Israel right now. Touch Israel. End the war. End the needless loss of lives on all sides. Intervene, God, I pray. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, pray in the Spirit. It's good to have a family night like this. I'm glad your kids heard the message. You enforce it back home. Take the notes. Take the notes and go through it with your kids. Have them ask questions. Make them put their phone away. Connect with your children. If you're a single mom, do it. Single fathers, do it. Get in the Word with them at home. And understand and know that we absolutely have a responsibility to bless Israel, and that's the stance that we take as a church. I'm so grateful. Lord, thank you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.